You know, I grew up in the state of Washington on the west side, and across the street from our house was a forest of trees and underbrush, which we uniquely called the woods. pretty fantastic, huh? The woods. And looking back, it was probably maybe the size of a city block or less, but to us in grade school, it seemed like miles, you know. And what was scary about the woods to us kids who lived on is that on the other side, on the east side of the woods, lived kids, and they were continuously our enemy. Do you ever have that when you were a kid? And they were the enemy, and we were the good guys, right? And so to fight off the kids on the other side, because they'd come into our camp and mess it up, and then we go and mess up their camp and that kind of thing. We would gather. When they would mess up, we'd gather together and we'd have a great discussion. And in the end, we would declare war on those evil demon kids, right? And after all, we were fighting for God and for the family, is the way we felt. And besides that, all of us guys on the west side of this forest, the woods, we all went to church, and those other people didn't, okay? And I remember my mom calling them heathens, and that was enough proof for us, right? They were the evil enemies. But we were scared, and we were sure someone would be sacrificed with a flying fern. Okay, now, if they did get hit, then it was time for the big artillery rocks, right? We throw rocks, and nobody could ever hit anybody, but we throw rocks. And so Western Washington had these ferns that grew maybe about this high, and it had a stalk right now. And I couldn't find one because, you know, you pull off all the branches. Well, why would that be on the computer? So anyhow, it would look like that. It would have a place where the root was, and it was weighted just enough that when you threw them, they made a perfect spear. So when we gathered our weapons, it was to go pull ferns, strip off all the pieces, and then we'd pile those up and be ready for the evil kids, right? And so we would sneak through the woods and spy out their camp and see what was going on, to see if they were building armor or weaponry, you know, the ferns. And we'd watch them once in a while. And evil Bobby Goble, that was their leader. He was a little older than the rest. Bobby Goble, I remember. He'd yell out to us, "Well, let's just be friends." Well, we knew better than that, right? We had fallen for that trick too many times where we were going to be good, and then all of a sudden they would be throwing ferns everywhere, you know. And so once in a while, as we fought these evil boys, one of us would sustain an injury, and boy, that would really make us mad, right? Man, it is our guy. And we had a guy named Pete. We called him Petey. And he just had the knack for always moving in the wrong direction and getting hit and then going home and cry. And so then we would muster up and build up our defenses, and we would go to throwing ferns, and they'd throw them back, our spears. And just dodging them was always kind of hard because they'd come through the air and you didn't know quite where they were going to land. All right. So we decided to all go and build cardboard shields so we could protect ourselves. And so we all went home and cut them out, and a bunch of the kids got together, and then we taped up a little handle on it, and so we went out and to battle, and they just didn't work very well. You know, cardboard, it would bend in and the handle would come off, and we just didn't know what to do. And so one of the evil boys on the east side used a garbage can lid. At first we called him a cheater, right? "You cheater, you're cheating." And then we thought, wait a minute, that's kind of a good idea. And so we all got our garbage can lids, and we went back and we threw those things, but those shields really worked well. And in fact, it kind of died out the wars because we couldn't hit anybody anymore because of that shield. And, you know, I don't know if anybody ended up getting kids PTSD from all the fear we had, right? But we are afraid of those demon kids on the other side of the woods. Now, why am I telling this story? Because our spiritual warfare is a similar war. And it also has real players with demons and Bobby Goble devil, right? And sometimes we attempt to stand our ground and in our own strength, and it's like having the cardboard shields. It just doesn't work, does it? When you're standing in your own power and you're saying, Lord, I'm just going to do this and I'm going to buck up, and what happens? Boy, one of those ferns get right through. And so we face this inner battle because many times we're not paying attention to God's instructions. And we're forgetting what he says, and we become unprepared and vulnerable soldiers, forgetting and to know how what we're supposed to do with the rest of our army, our armor, excuse me. And our shield of faith becomes cardboard because our faith is weak and our ignorance runs high. But the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's no other way faith comes than by the word of God. Do you hear that this morning in your heart? Remember what Paul said. We are strengthened in the power of his might. So there's a choice. It's building a strong shield of faith by listening to God's instruction and believing that they're true and that it's the best thing for us. That's it in a nutshell. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And I think you know in your heart the devices that Satan uses on you. And so he gives us the knowledge, and our shield of faith is belief in what God says. People, we need a strong shield, don't we? Man, we need a strong shield. And you think that nobody has the problems like you do. Oh, powerful. Everybody has the problem. Amen? Amen? We all have that. Now let's read our scripture together. I'm going to read the underline and you read the non-underline. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now listen, I've got hearing aids because I'm hearing impaired. I love saying that, you know, hearing impaired, but I am hearing impaired, just ask my family. Okay, so I'm going to read this, and then you've got to read it loud enough I can hear you, okay? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, that's the verse this morning, above all, taking the shield of faith, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Good. Yeah. You know, when we read that, it says above all, and people said, well, the shield is the most important. No, it really is, should be translated more with all, meaning all the other armor, excuse me, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to fire quench. I want to put that fire quench in there because the quench in the original language means something that wipes out fire, okay? So, which you will be able to fire quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, remember, his goal is to make you and I ineffective. Do you realize that? He can't touch you. We're gods, right? We have the Holy Spirit. He can't touch you, but his goal is to make you ineffective. And he's good at it, isn't he? And when we trust in ourselves, then we get down on ourselves. We feel unforgiven or worthless. I don't know where you go. looking for other sources of peace rather than God. And that's why we must stand against the devil in God's power, not our power. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because God has a much greater power than Satan. Do we agree with that? Yeah, you know what's interesting is I grew up in church where I felt like God had a lot of power, but it seemed like Satan had more. Did you ever feel that way in a way? Kind of like he's got a really strong power. He has no power over you. No power over you. And because he has this extremely great power, that it is far beyond what the evil one has, and we have access to that power, Paul says, by trusting in what God says. The shield of faith will extinguish all the fiery darts, the temptations, the second guessing of God. Paul likens our faith to be like a big shield, you know, and I think I mentioned this last week, that he was shackled between two soldiers for the most part with chains. And so he'd be looking at their armor and he's looking at everything and he gets to that shield and he said, boy, that is a perfect word picture for faith, right? We have that shield and no matter what he throws, if we have faith and we know what God says, it's going to bounce off the shield. Because when we look at it, the sole purpose is escaping and dousing the flaming darts, the hot schemes of the evil one. When I say that, are you following me? Some of the temptations you have in your life, they almost feel like fire, don't they? Yes. I mean, they come at you and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is where I'm at. And so we have this spiritual faith, the shield of trust, we could even say, for the sole purpose of escaping those schemes of the evil one. Because some of those temptations are fiery. You know, I was watching a TV show. I got home from Wednesday and Deb was watching a show and she got home first. And it was a hospital scene. And this couple, she was in the hospital bed, and he was holding her hand, and they were kissing and hugging, and the nurses came in and thought, oh, isn't that sweet? Look at them, they're so in love together. And then the guy starts to speak and said, well, I found her, we were high school sweethearts, and I found her on Facebook, and so we got reacquainted and fell in love. And now he's in the picture, and she was going to divorce her husband, whom she loved, to be with her high school sweetheart. And so he justifies his moral theft, I want to call it, all right, of an already married woman who loves her husband and says to the nurse, what we are doing is right. It's not wrong because we deeply love each other and it feels so right, it cannot be wrong. Oh boy. Some of those temptations are pretty fiery, aren't they? Or I've heard people say, if I become a success, then I won't be weak. I won't be disregarded. I'll be a somebody. I have power and people will look up to me. Oh, some of those temptations are fiery, aren't they? Or I'm not supposed to be in physical or mental pain. God never planned that. I'm supposed to have peace at all times, and my inner life is a mess. My boyfriend left me, and drugs are the only thing that can keep me at peace. Oh, some of those temptations are fiery. But like a soldier, we need to take up the shield against that kind of thinking. And that list goes on and on and on, doesn't it? You have your list. I have my list. And it's too easy to slip into that list rather than to hear God. This week in my Bible reading, I came across a young man named Thomas, one of Christ's disciples. And Jesus appeared alive to them, and Thomas was gone getting supplies or whatever. And so they came back and they said, "Man, we've seen Jesus. He was here." And I think Thomas was trying to be wise and thoughtful, and so he said, "I won't believe it until I touch his scars." Do you think that doubting Thomas really needed to touch him when he saw Christ? But Christ made him touch. And, you know, I look at it and I think, well, you know, probably Thomas was hurt and he wasn't there. But I just don't think, I should say that he was just jealous and he was bummed because he wasn't there. And I think Jesus' words that I'm going to read burned into him seriously. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." It's by faith, isn't it? Our hope is by faith. Everything's by faith. And we have to decide whether we're going to believe what God says is right for us. And so he asks us to take up this shield of faith. Trust God and what he says to us. Quit trusting your own thinking. Trust what God says. So let me close with this thought. When I came to Christ, I got my cousin, David Blackwell. My third son is named after David Blackwell. And I got him to come to church with me, and it took about 3 months, but he accepted Christ, and when he did, he was a changed man. And we became like brothers, because I didn't have a brother. He had a brother, but he was a weirdo. And so, in his terms, okay, his terms. And so we became brothers. He was in my best man in my wedding. We would go up every year and visit with him and his wife and his kids. But in his later in his 40s, he contracted cancer, colon cancer, and they did surgery on it, and he had it whipped. But it came back later in a fury. And he came home one day from riding a 50-mile bike tour with some other guys, put the bike up in the garage, walked into the house and said, "Babe, I'm going to bed and I'm probably not going to get back out. I hurt too much." So Debbie and I flew up to Seattle to visit him. And he was laying in the bed, couldn't open his eyes. He was that late in the stage, cancer. And I said, "Dave, it's me, Steve." And he straightened up in bed. And even though he couldn't open his eyes, he knew immediately who I was. And I leaned over and talked to him for a little bit because he couldn't talk much. And at one point, I whispered to him, and in our conversation, I said, "Are you ready to die and enter heaven?" And without hesitation, and I didn't even expect it because he wasn't talking, he said, "Yes, I am so ready. I can't wait." No hesitation, no doubt, no wondering. His shield was made iron. Nothing was going to get through his shield. And those were his last words. You know, his faith was unbelievable. But what was interesting to me is my faith was tested at that point. I had these washes of doubt. You ever get that right in the middle of something like that? Questions in my heart like, had I told him the truth when he accepted Christ? Is my belief in God and heaven strong enough to die for? Am I willing to believe it with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? Oh, I'm telling you, the darts were flying that day. Satan felt like he had a foothold in me. And that experience tested, but strengthened my faith. Do you hear me this morning? When we're tested, it strengthens our faith. And I came away with the fact that God is real, He loves me, the Bible is true, and that my cousin had passed from this life to heaven. And many of you who are here this morning claim Christianity is yours, and you love God and you call on Him, but sometimes those hard circumstances come into your life and it makes you question what God has asked of you. And the answer is, we can get stronger in those circumstances. When those circumstances come, you either get stronger or you get weaker, right? And we become stronger and stronger in Christ. So, what are you going to believe this morning, my friends? What is it that you're going to believe? Are you going to believe God, or are you going to believe your own thinking and everybody else's thinking? Oh, I'm so in love with her. It seems right. Give me a break. Father, we come this morning. Lord, you're right. We're wrong in our thinking so many times. And Lord, we love it that we can come to church and we can go to Bible studies. We can learn and grow so that our thinking becomes your thinking. I mean, your thinking becomes our thinking, Lord. So we think exactly the same. And so, Lord, help us to take up the shield of faith, the shield of trust. And may we trust in you. In your thinking, not in our thinking, Lord, because it's too easy for us to trust in our thinking. Because it's so automatic. Help us to trust in your thinking.